is showing the infinite variety of eyes and faces in the animal kingdom. Natural World, BBC. A misty jungle silhouetted against a deep red sky. The low sun sits on the horizon.
Beyond the southern tip of India lies a jewel in the ocean, Sri Lanka.
A lake.
It's a land of extraordinary beauty, of jungles, mountains, and vast fertile plains.
Rays of light shine down on mountain peaks. Pelicans glide over the lake.
A rich variety of animals live here. Many of them are found nowhere else.
A clutch of monkeys perch on a branch. A youngster's being preened.
But for me, one animal stands out. It's totally iconic and instantly recognized right around the globe. Sri Lanka is home to its own unique subspecies of the Asian elephant. They look very different from their African cousins. Their ears are smaller, their foreheads domed, and their backs more arched. I'm intrigued to find out just how deep those differences go. I really want to get to know them and their world. For me, it's the chance of a lifetime.
Sri Lanka, Elephant Island, with Martin Kolbeck. Flaming joss sticks.
Sri Lankans have a deeply spiritual relationship with nature. For 30 years, their country was torn apart by civil war. Now that's over, they want to welcome people back to share their natural riches.
Potatoes and onions on a market stall.
Theirs is a vibrant culture, and one that has always lived close to wildlife. And their relationship with elephants is particularly special.
A keeper walking with an elephant.
Elephants also have a very special place in my heart. I'm a wildlife cameraman, and elephants are my great passion. I've spent many years filming them all over Africa, but I've never filmed Sri Lankan elephants, and that's why I'm here.
Martin strolls by serene Buddha sculptures amid a water feature.
For me, Sri Lanka's hard-won peace offers a golden opportunity to get to know its elephants and the world they live in.
A waterfall cascades down a forested mountainside. Martin's standing in the back of a 4x4 with a woman in a head square.
My destination is Uduwalawe National Park in the south of the country. With me is elephant scientist Sherman De Silva. If anyone can help me get to know the elephants, Sherman can.
They share a laugh.
It's the end of the dry season, and the vegetation is pretty sparse. I'm hoping that'll make the elephants easier to spot.
The vehicle trundles on along a worn track.
It's an elephant.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see. I had no idea it was there, and I suddenly saw it.
It doesn't appear in the grass quite easily. They're really good at hiding, actually.
It's great to see one so quickly.
As the elephant walks on, the 4x4 pulls up and Martin raises his binoculars.
Physically, they're similar in many ways to the African elephants I know so well, though their ears are significantly smaller.
An elephant foot in slow motion.
Sherman tells me we know relatively little about the behaviour of these elephants. She's been studying them for 7 years, a lot less than the many decades that scientists have been studying African elephants. The first challenge is always to find ways to identify individual elephants and to try to understand the relationships in the herd. At this relatively early stage of her research, Even Sherman sometimes struggles.
Since 7 years is not a long time compared to the lifespan of an elephant, I don't really quite know who's related. Some of them, the younger ones, I know are mother calf pairs, but the older ones, I'm only guessing that they're families.
A lot of people would come out and they'd say, these elephants all look exactly the same. But, I mean, as I know from African elephants, you learn how to recognise individuals very quickly. Now, for me, coming here for the first time, it's quite difficult for me at the moment to separate out these individuals, so I'm going to have to use all these visual clues.
You're going to have to learn a lot of ears and tails and pretty much anything that's distinctive, you make use of it.
Yeah.
There's something magical about these animals. It's not just their size or that slow, peaceful way they have. It's the way they seem to think. They're as interested in me as I am in them.
Very close. Are you curious?
A couple of adults lift their trunks to investigate the vehicle's passengers.
Oh, what an amazing sound. What a great sound. That's incredible.
It's great to get so close.
A large beast waves its ears.
But this one's not so happy about it. Whoa, that's not good. Two of them have taken a dislike to our support vehicle. That head down and ears forward stance is a threat posture. And that's serious. Elephants are said to have killed 50 people in Sri Lanka last year.
With the vehicle stationary, one of the elephants turns away and uses its trunk to shower its back with dirt.
There was no cue or anything like that?
No, she just decided that she didn't like the car being there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must be quite invasive, mustn't it? Very loud, diesel.
Yeah, and the engines sound so similar to their vocalizations.
Yeah.
That it's in the same frequency range.
There must be a lot of infrasound coming out of this car,
right,
mustn't there?
Right.
So it probably sounds much louder to them than it does
right.
to us.
Yes.
In a calmer atmosphere, Martin films an elephant pulling a large clump of grass from the earth.
I'm starting to notice subtle details of behaviour. The elephants here swipe clumps of grass against their feet before eating it, something I've not seen before. It seems to be their way of knocking off the sand and dust that sticks to the roots when they pull it from the ground.
She's lifting her foot right up and just deliberately smacking the toenails.
In slow motion, pieces of dry grass fly away.
Sherman tells me this is a trick they have to learn from their parents. The behaviour is passed down from one generation to the next.
The swiping action.
As with their African cousins, Sri Lankan elephants have a matriarchal society. Groups are made up of females and youngsters. But the size of the groups is quite different. African families can be 30 or 40 strong. Here, I can see far fewer animals in each so-called social unit. And Sherman explains that the Sri Lankan elephant's social system seems to be less fixed and more fluid. The herd covers the whole park, but it's made up of many smaller units, and the elephants switch between them as and when they please. There's one thing I've seen here that's just the same as African elephants. The bond between mother and baby is every bit as strong. I've always thought you learn a lot about elephants by watching them with their young. These little ones are already 6 months old. What I'd really like to see is how they behave with their newborn babies. So I've tried to time my trip with the arrival of the monsoon, when there's the best chance of a new baby being born. As I travel through Uduwalawe, the whole park seems to be waiting for the rains.
A deer peers through some foliage. A lizard with a crested back bobs up and down on a branch. An iguana moves its muscular neck while a mongoose scurries off.
Peacocks are the heralds of the monsoon. As the rains approach, The male's elaborate tails grow, and the courtship displays begin.
A male shakes its orangey tail plumage, while the display of eye spot feathers shimmers.
The birds give me confidence. I won't have long to wait.
At dawn, a peacock sits on a bare branch.
In the meantime, Sherman has someone else she wants me to meet.
The sun rises.
She takes me to look at another side of elephant life here in Sri Lanka, an insight into the challenges they face growing up here. This is an area on the very edge of Udawalawe Park, the Elephant Transit Home, or ETH for short. Meet the gang. All these elephants are orphans, their families either killed or separated. The ETH hopes to release all 28 of them back into the wild. But first, these little ones must learn as much as possible about elephant society. With no family around, that means learning from each other. But who's to say learning can't be fun? For these orphans, bath time is a highlight of the day. They're a joy to watch. It's heartening to see these unfortunate elephants so relaxed and content. Sherman wants me to meet one particular elephant. This is Namal. He's just 2.5 years old. He was found a year ago, tangled in a snare. He's been here ever since. Namal can't play with the gang at bath time. His only company is his keeper, Salinda. Luckily, they seem to be good friends.
In the water, Salinda first washes Namal's ears, then his tail. The youngster then explores Salinda's face with his trunk. Namal sits patiently while Salinda scrubs his back. The other orphans are more lively.
But he's obviously missing out on the social bonding that elephants need if they're to prosper.
One elephant leaning on another's back.
It's not just about learning, it's about belonging. Playing with Salinda is fun, but it's no substitute for the company of other elephants. Like toddlers everywhere, Namal is quite a handful.
Salinda swims ahead of the calf, who ducks his tufted head under the water. Namal probes Salinda's face with his trunk. At a leisurely pace, the keeper in his soaked uniform walks in front of the youngster.
When he leaves the water, it becomes obvious why Namal can't play with the other orphans.
On the grassy banking, Salinda picks up a prosthetic limb.
When ETH rescued him from the snare, they couldn't save his leg.
The keeper fits the hind limb, then passes leather straps through buckles to tighten. Salinda leads Namal while he carries his wellies.
The prosthetic limb helps him get around.
When Namal quickens his pace to catch up with Salinda, the false leg falls off and the elephant stumbles.
But he's just too fragile and nervous to hang out with the gang.
Salinda reattaches the limb. The keeper lays a towel on the beast's back.
The caring staff here tell me that there is hope. Apart from his disability, Namal is a normal, healthy calf. He's smart enough to save Salinda the trouble of rubbing him dry. And, like any youngster, he's always keen to make friends.
Namal shows his inquisitive, friendly nature when with Sherman and Martin.
But as Vigitar Pereira, the head vet at ETH, explains, the trouble is, Namal now sees humans as family.
Vigitar says the problem with this one is he got a lot of care from human beings, so now he has a bigger affinity with humans than the elephants.
Than the elephants.
Oh, so he actually prefers human company to elephants?
Yeah.
Right. So that wouldn't be good if he were released back.
Yeah, so I can try our best.
He says, we try our best to make minimum contact, but this one, we know he may not go back to the wild again.
Namal will never return to the wild. What's so sad is that after a year in ETH's care, he's still not strong enough to spend time with the other orphans. But Vigitar tells me he's growing fast. His time may yet come.
The orphans on a grassy plain.
ETH's aim isn't to teach elephants how to live with humans. They must learn to live with each other, and ultimately with other wild elephants. In fact, the further these orphans stay away from humans, the better. Last year, people killed 228 elephants in Sri Lanka. That's what's brought the orphans here in the first place. If they're to return to the wild, it's best to steer clear of people. I can't help thinking about the challenges these animals face.
Elephants tussle.
The gang are unperturbed. That's the wonderful thing about childhood. The future always seems a long way off.
A dozing elephant closes its eyes. Speeded up film of clouds massing over the lake and mountains.
Change is coming. I can sense something different in the air.
Chewing on a leaf, a monkey gazes skywards.
The monsoon is about to begin.
The remaining patch of blue sky is swallowed up by black clouds. An elephant lumbers through ferny vegetation. The peacock perches high on a branch in the dead tree.
Cool air from the Himalayas sweeps down India's eastern coast, warming and picking up water as it goes.
The peacock preens as the sky grows darker while a crested eagle is on the lookout.
Eventually, these warm, wet winds reach Sri Lanka.
Bolts of lightning flash in the sky as the rain begins to fall on the wildlife below.
Rain lashes the land.
The slate-grey sky and raindrops pattering down on green foliage. Puddles forming quickly on the dry earth. A pair of the dark-skinned elephants stand out against the green shrubbery. Churning white and brown water as grass is submerged by the torrent. Debris rushes by in the fast flow. A herd of buffalo, half submerged, still manage to keep their heads above water to continue chewing. And elephants feeding on land.
The water will trigger lush new growth. Fresh pasture for hungry elephants.
An elephant twists a tuft of grass free. The animal has distinctive reddish-brown pigmentation on its ears and trunk. The beasts plod on with their recognizable arched backs. As the downpour eases, a rainbow forms. There's a glimpse of the sun behind dark, threatening clouds. Light fans out across the sky, picking out the mountains and lake. Insects flapping their white wings rapidly and raindrops glistening on vegetation.
As the land becomes saturated, the air comes alive.
The insects in large numbers flutter around the undergrowth.
Flying termites, newly hatched.
The hulking frames of feeding elephants and their stillness contrasts with the busy airborne insects. An adult flaps its ears, surrounded by the pretty white-winged termites. Martin's filming with the sun low on the horizon and the air alive with insects. A peahen foraging in the vegetation.
Each insect might be the founder of a new colony, but I know very few will succeed.
Winged termites floating lifelessly on the water.
The whole place feels more alive, like it's waking up from a long sleep.
A turtle lifts its head out of the water, the light glints off its dark shell. An elephant levers a tree with all its strength.
The elephants are taking advantage of the monsoon's gifts as well. An entire tree brought down by the wind.
An elephant reaches up to the sparse greenery left on the tree. The tip of its trunk is like a finger.
Males and females have gathered to make the most of it. Usually, elephant groups are strictly females and young only. Adult males are normally solitary or hang out with other males. But here, males and females tolerate each other as they all take advantage of the windfall.
Two animals head to head.
It's a rare treat to see so many animals together. I finally feel like I'm beginning to really get to know them.
There's one particular individual that I've already got to know called Deepa, and she has amazing ears. They're torn on the edges and they're rather like drapes, like curtains. And she's always flapping them, and they flap, because they're quite small, they flap right across their eyes. So I'm sure part of it is that they're actually getting rid of flies around their eyes. But they're very expressive at the same time, because her ears are particularly flappy and loose, and so she's always slapping them against her shoulder blades. But they're always flapping them, and you can hear when they slap against their bodies the sort of sound they make. And I think there's a lot going on with Asian elephant ears in terms of communication with each other.
These two females are flapping their ears in absolute synchrony. I'm sure that this represents some sort of visual greeting.
The female standing side by side, ears flapping.
Everywhere I look, I find new mysteries and new points of connection.
A solitary beast.
This male is repeatedly curling his trunk up against his cheek. In African elephants, that's a sure sign of stress. I'm puzzled as to what's bothering him.
An eagle feeding on a carcass.
It soon becomes clear. I don't know what killed this elephant. Inside the reserve, it's unlikely to have been people.
As the male walks on, his trunk curls up by his cheek. He's only a short distance from the dead animal. He curls his trunk up again. The elephant gazes at the body as a raven picks at the remains.
He pays his respects and moves on.
Slowly he turns away, and more birds pounce on the feast. The burgeoning forest with misty mountains ahead.
It's a reminder that there are hidden depths to these animals that we can only begin to understand.
The male paces on into the depths of the trees and shrubs. An elephant resting his head on a tree trunk.
Once a year, normally during the monsoon, glands in front of the ears swell up. Both these males are in a state of must.
A male with his trunk coiled and pale skin pigmentation flaps his ears while a secretion drips from his groin.
Their testosterone soars to 60 times its normal level. They're restless, aggressive, and ready to fight.
The male, with marked white and red blotches on its ears, steps along a grassy trail. He strikes an imposing figure. In slow motion, another male advances along the track. Feet and toes flex as they hit the baked ground. The first male's tail swishes from side to side. The second male's blotchy markings are striking on the trunk, forehead, and ear tips. The first opens his mouth. The second's ears flap by its eyes.
I can tell that both these males are in their prime. Males tend to lose their grey pigmentation as they get older.
Head to head.
The clash is like nothing I've seen in Africa. Despite their age and size, neither of these giants has tusks. African elephants fight with their heads up and tusks locked. But here, the heads are down. And curiously, they hold the tips of their trunks in their mouths.
The second male shakes his head, then the pair come together. Face to face, one pushes the other back. The one who's struggling coils his trunk into his mouth and tries to steady his back legs. Back on the track again, the pair square up.
If this was Africa, both would have tusks perhaps a couple of meters long. It seems that after centuries of ivory hunting, only tuskless males are left.
Head to head.
But even without tusks, this is a fight only one of them can win.
One swishes a leafed branch around, while the other coils his trunk. He whacks his forehead with the foliage, then lets it fall to the ground.
Why most males go into must during the monsoon is a mystery. Females are sexually receptive on and off all year round. I think this has more to do with dominance than sex. I've been here almost a month now, and I'm getting used to the relaxed rhythm of life in the park. I've seen a good variety of elephant behaviour, though it's frustrating that I still haven't been able to see them with a newborn calf.
Red clouds and hanging branches in silhouette. Sparkling water in daylight.
It's 2 weeks since the monsoon began in earnest.
Fish thrash about in a shallow stretch of water.
As the rivers flood, countless fish hurry to spawn. Their young will get the best possible start. Assuming the adults ever get that far.
Long-beaked storks stretch their long legs towards the fish.
This is boom time for predators too.
A painted stork probes with one pink foot while its beak is in the water. Fins break the surface in a flash of light and bubbles. A stork uses its long pointed beak to search the shallows. One manages to snatch a fish right from under the beak of another. It takes the silvery flapping fish to the mud bank. The fish squirms free, but the bird manages to grip it more firmly the next time.
With so many fish on the menu, choosing the right starter isn't easy.
A stork has its beak in the water as a fish thrashes about just out of reach. With the fish at its foot, the stork walks off. More probing, and the amount of available fish seems to confuse the bird. The stork prods a fish as it swims furiously in the shallows. Now, with the fish on a finger of muddy ground and easy to pick off, the stork wades on. Another bird gets its catch safely on solid ground.
And somewhere out there, there's a fish even for the smallest appetite.
A golden blue kingfisher darts from its branch and comes straight back with a small fish that it swallows. Elephants in a line.
I decide to head back to the orphan elephants at ETH to catch up with how they're getting on. I think the gang are glad to see me.
The herd emerges from the water and heads as one towards Martin and his camera.
Most wild elephants of this age would have been weaned by now. But these guys still get regular bottle feeds. They form an orderly line. But Namal comes first. He's still not strong enough to feed with the others. Unlike the rest of the gang, this is milk he actually needs.
Celinda pours frothing milk from one jug into another, Namal's pink gaping mouth.
But it's still a treat, one he always looks forward to. The others will have to wait their turn.
The milk's decanted from one metal jug into another. Namal's trunk sniffs around a funnel as the milk's fed to him via a tube. Namal's pink tongue.
In the wild, suckling strengthens the bond between mother and calf. It's sad to think that the closest Namal has to a parent is Celinda. The others don't even have that.
The tip at the end of Namal's trunk points at the milk like a finger. As he drinks, some of the liquid gets on his bearded jaw. Feeding over, Celinda removes the plastic tube from Namal's mouth. The other orphans are waiting to be fed. Two of them bump heads.
The keeper in charge of maintaining order in the gang does so with his back turned. It's part of ETH's policy of keeping contact with the orphans to a minimum.
Celinda dries the calf's hairy muzzle with a towel.
Only when Namal is done do the others get their turn, a few at a time.
The keeper stands aside and the juveniles slowly walk forward in single file. A fenced area leads the animals to the feeding station. A keeper pours milk down a pipe into an eager mouth.
They have impeccable manners. They seem to know they're only allowed a jugful each. Then, very politely, off they go. And the next customer takes their place.
The keeper stands aside again, and the next two animals make their way along the channel to the feeding area. Their heavy feet churn up the muddy soil as they walk. A calf drinks hungrily. Feeding over, the tube's withdrawn from the elephant's mouth, ready for the next customer. There's some shoving in the normally peaceful group.
For the ETH staff, this is a tricky balancing act. They must support the orphans without compromising their release into the wild. We know so little about their wild behaviour. It's hard to know what aspects of elephant education the gang are missing out on. But this is the only chance they've got of getting back into the wild.
Another one of the gang finishes their milk ration in a hurry. Martin's in the 4x4 with the canvas top up.
I've only got a couple of weeks left here. and the weather is making filming difficult. We have spent days keeping our eyes peeled for a newborn calf.
Sherman's beside him as he films an elephant behind some lush foliage.
Just as we're heading home for the day, one crosses the road right in front of us.
Standing up in the back of the vehicle, Martin and Sherman watch a baby elephant walk across the dirt road and into the bush. Martin points as the small beast hurries along.
Then, frustratingly, it's gone again. And it's clear we're not welcome. Suddenly, the elephants are on us.
An adult faces the crew up.
They make it very clear they want us gone.
Showering dirt over its back, the adult then makes for Martin's vehicle.
We back off, but they follow.
Ears flapping and tail swishing, the large beasts pick up speed. A youngster and another adult join the pair confronting the unwanted visitors. A throaty growl with an open mouth.
A standoff.
A smaller adult touches another's mouth with its trunk.
I'm intrigued by the strange squeaking noises they make and this peculiar breath checking. But the elephants clearly want us to leave them alone. So that's exactly what we do. I've rarely seen African elephants so defensive, but I'm hopeful I might get a little closer tomorrow.
As the vehicle drives off, a rainbow brightens up the grey sky and storks fly overhead.
The monsoon rains have produced an explosion of greenery.
An elephant swipes a freshly picked clump of grass across his foot, then touches his eye with the finger-like tip of his trunk. One lays its trunk on another's head.
Adult elephants are still easy to spot. In fact, they're hard to miss. But the babies are just a meter high.
A calf's lying in the shade, black hair on its head and face.
Finally, persistence pays off.
Three elephants together, from small to large.
This calf is just a day old. It's exactly what I've been looking for. A chance to see how the adults behave around such a tiny baby.
The calf's dwarfed by the adults and a little unsteady on its feet. The group feeds from the grass verge while the new arrival looks unsure. Mud's drying on its face as the adults appear to form a protective ring. The grown-ups provide enough shade for the calf to lie down in. Crouching down a touch ungainly, the baby then flops onto its side on the grass and dirt trail. A large amber eye blinks sleepily, then an adult moves closer.
Of course, everyone wants to meet the new arrival. But the female standing over the baby is not the mother, just part of the group. She seems to be behaving rather strangely.
The calf's still lying on the ground.
She's trying to shove the calf's mum out of the way.
The baby elephant's in the middle of the group and struggles to stand amid a forest of legs.
It's as if she wants the baby for herself.
The calf's suckling.
Not surprisingly, the mum isn't happy about it.
One female pushes the other.
With all the shoving, I'm worried the calf could be injured.
A trunk touches the vulnerable baby's mouth.
The calf's grandmother takes the baby aside. The females will have to sort this out for themselves.
The adults bump trunks head on, then one backs off. However, the confrontation's not over. The second animal tries to gain an advantage and shoves back harder with her trunk. They appear equally matched as the standoff continues.
This is completely bewildering.
Martin's filming the slow-moving action.
African elephants sometimes kidnap a calf from another family as a display of dominance.
The second female shoves again, but they remain at a stalemate.
But I don't think that's what's happening here. Perhaps Asian elephants play by different rules.
The pair move back towards the group.
The conflict is a real shock. What's even more shocking is the outcome. The mother loses the fight.
So how did they sort of head up? They sort of hit each other, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Almost like males.
Almost like males.
And it's very rare to get females actually showing
any aggression.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
They'll usually just avoid each other without ever having made contact.
Right.
The calf is too young to know what's going on. But it's now following a strange female instead of its mother. The female should know better. What will she do with a calf she can't even feed? Why steal it in the first place? Sherman has an answer, and suddenly it all makes sense. The female's name is Afi Mali, and she was an orphan. She grew up at the ETH with no adults to teach her. There, the older orphans take the youngsters under their wing. To Afi Mali, this isn't stealing. It's sharing. How could she know better?
The calf tries to suckle.
And what's she going to do now? Afi Mali moves her leg to make space for the calf to suckle. But it's not her calf. She has no milk.
The baby nuzzles up to the female while she chews on foliage.
This could turn out really badly for the baby. But there's nothing I can do.
Martin keeps filming as the calf lowers its head despondently.
The afternoon rains are on their way. I just hope we'll be able to find the baby again tomorrow.
The female and the baby wander slowly into the bush.
At the transit home, there's better news for Namal. Weaning is an important step towards joining the rest of the gang, though not all the bananas seem to be up to his exacting standards.
Namal lets another banana fall from his curling trunk onto a piece of cardboard on the ground. Salinda encourages him to pick it up, but Namal seems more interested in the bunch the keeper's holding.
For now, he dines alone. But I hope one day he'll be strong enough to enjoy the company of the other orphans.
Namal puts one banana, then another, into his mouth.
The keepers tell me he came incredibly close to dying. He's lucky to be alive. But elephants are such social creatures. A life in solitary is not much of a life at all.
He picks up mushy bananas.
As Namal hoovers up the last of his treats, the gang returns to its temporary life, safe on the edge of the park. One day, they will leave here. For most of these animals, there's hope for a happier future.
Sunrise over the peacock in his tree.
But I now know that their time in captivity can create problems. I'm still worried about Athimali and her stolen calf. Finding them again could be a huge challenge. When I next go out, I find elephants, but not the ones I'm looking for. Elephants love water. The muddier, the better, it seems. Each one comes with a built-in sprinkler system. It makes spraying on the sunblock a breeze.
An adult elephant sprays muddy water from a pool over its head and body. A powerful jet of mud from its trunk splatters its wrinkly skin. A shower of mucky water covers its domed forehead and ears. In slow motion, the brown spray bounces off its body that glistens with slick mud.
Like so much in elephant life, first, you have to learn how to do it. Controlling a meter of flexible pipework turns out to be tricky.
Water dribbles from a calf's trunk.
Some animals do everything by instinct. They're born knowing everything they'll need. For young elephants, it's all about learning. And learning about mud is high on the agenda. I'm sure mud makes a great insect repellent. Even with a hide as thick as an elephant's, biting insects are a constant annoyance. There are millions of them.
Having soothed an itch with his muddy foot, an elephant walks on.
Plagued by mosquitoes and midges, buffaloes take to the water. At least their bodies are protected, if not their heads.
In the water, a water buffalo submerges its horned head as a whole herd wallows.
A handy platform for a hungry heron.
The heron uses the long snout of a buffalo as a fishing platform. In slow motion, another beast sticks its face in the lake, then snorts water from its nostrils. High up on a branch, a black-faced, grey-furred monkey swats at an insect. A grazing deer with white spots on her brown coat flicks her ears, then kicks a hoof out. A small green bird ruffles its feathers while a young bird on a bare branch preens itself.
It seems everyone has an itch to scratch.
A baby monkey clinging to its mother scratches an itch. A parakeet does the same.
Or if you're lucky, a friend to scratch it for you.
A macaque monkey picks at another's head while a mother checks a youngster's fur. She carefully grooms her baby. In another pair of macaques, one picks an insect from his partner's hand, then eats it. The black-faced macaque finds an insect on the other's back, then swallows it. An elephant holding a branch.
I've noticed that some of the male elephants here have developed a neat trick to deal with the problem. One of the really interesting things I have seen here, which I didn't see in African elephants, was animals deliberately breaking off branches and using them as fly swats. We found a bull the other day where this was clearly what he was doing. He didn't eat the piece of vegetation that he was using to swat flies. He specifically broke it off. It was a certain size. And he had a distinct pattern of hitting one side, hitting the other side, hitting between his legs, hitting across the front of his trunk. So that was really, really fascinating tool use. And I've never seen that so specifically in African elephants. For some reason, I only ever see males doing this. Perhaps because the males live apart from the females, most females haven't had a chance to learn the trick. It's a powerful reminder of just how intelligent these animals are, and how important learning is to them.
A male swipes the insects away.
This is a trick that each new generation must learn from the others around them. I just hope the orphan elephants will find a way to develop these skills.
The elephant wields the leafy branch as he paces steadily through the heavy undergrowth. The low sun filters through mist and casts trees in silhouette.
I still have no idea if Athimali has figured out that what she did was wrong. The elephants are so spread out here that finding a particular animal is incredibly difficult, let alone a particular calf. Females and their young drift between groups as and when they please. At long last, I'm seeing plenty of youngsters. The trouble is, none of them is the one I'm after.
A number of elephant calves in their family groups.
The calf that Athimali stole is nowhere to be seen. I can't help but worry about how the stolen baby is doing.
A herd ambles across the lush landscape. Martin's standing in the back of the 4x4.
And then, finally, I find the calf with its real mother.
The calf breaks off from suckling as Martin films the reunited pair.
I have no idea when it happened, or how. Perhaps there was another fight. Perhaps Athimali got bored and wandered off. I'm sure that in time, she'll learn to do better. It's a huge relief to see a happy outcome. These animals have such a sophisticated social system. It's their greatest strength, but it also makes them fragile. Continuity has always been the cornerstone of their lives. But their world is changing fast, and I'm concerned for their future. It's time for me to say goodbye. The monsoon is nearly over, and it won't be long before I leave Sri Lanka. This is the perfect time to release a few of the more mature orphans.
A tailgate.
It's the moment everyone's been waiting for. The hours of patient care. The effort to keep the elephants at a distance. I think the elephants' loose herd structure makes it easier for the orphans to adapt to a life in the wild. The herd is so dispersed, the orphans can wander as they please. They can find their place in elephant society, in their own time and on their own terms. In the last 15 years, ETH have released 90 elephants back into the wild. 84 of them are alive and doing well. There's hope here. This is a system that works.
The orphan elephants enjoy a mud bath. One's lying on its side.
It's good to leave knowing that the future is bright for the rest of the gang. One day, they too will return to the wild. They will have to build on what they've already learned. Their own orphan version of elephant society.
One elephant sprawls over another on the ground, while the rest of the gang relax in the mud and bright sunshine. A baby elephant has his trunk washed.
It won't be long before I have to say goodbye to Namal. I've loved getting to know him, and I've been told that today could be a big day for him.
The keeper playfully tosses some mud at Namal, who swishes his trunk in the shallow pool. Celinda bathes Namal, manoeuvring him onto his side.
The monsoon has brought new little luxuries. A mud bath is the perfect way to start this special day.
The young animal's happy to have his keeper pamper him. Cylinder enjoys his work, and soon the orphan's plastered in mud.
I know he'll never be fit enough for release into the wild. I can't help feeling sorry for him.
Namal gets to his feet with the wet, sticky earth covering his body. Tentatively, he puts his weight on his stump as he walks out of the wallow.
Not that Namal's one for complaining. He's been positive and outgoing since the day they first found him.
On solid ground and with his prosthetic limb attached, Namal makes good progress.
And now, all that hard work and patience is going to pay off. At long last, he's big enough to meet the gang.
Cylinder's no longer by his side as he approaches the orphans cautiously. The false leg slows him a little, but soon he's with the group.
This is what elephants are made for. It's what they need more than anything else.
Namal sticks closely by a bigger elephant.
He's made his first proper friends. And it looks like he's loving every minute of it.
Namal stands out in the group with his greyer skin tone. Namal and his new friend amble behind a keeper carrying one of the feeding jugs. The tranquil setting befits the gentle nature of the orphaned elephants. Martin's on foot.
This has been a fascinating journey. Trying to follow individuals through the monsoon has been hard. But I've seen and learnt a lot. Athimali stealing a calf. A lone male visiting the dead. In some ways, they're so different to elephants in Africa. In other ways, they're much the same. For both, elephant life is all about learning and relationships. But here, I've seen those relationships take their own unique form. It's hard to say goodbye to Namal and his friends. They have all become very special to me. I will certainly never forget my time here in Sri Lanka.
Namal content in the company of the other elephants.